1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, we are working our way through the list of characteristics of charity, agape love, biblical love, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we come to the last one in verse 4. Charity is not puffed up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your humility, your willingness to leave the throne of glory in heaven, and for the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, to come to this earth, humble himself as a man. Lord, teach us humility. Help us avoid this problem of being puffed up. Help us to be more like Jesus. And may you use this study to help us learn this lesson. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Air can make things look pretty impressive. Have you ever noticed when you buy a bag of potato chips how big the bag is compared to how many potato chips are actually in the bag? It sure is puffed up with a lot of air. Did you know that a lot of brands of ice cream are mostly foam? They pump a lot of air into the ice cream. And it's one of the reasons that you get headaches when you eat ice cream, because there's so much cold air in there that you're eating along with the ice cream. Yeah, they kind of foam it up so that there's not as much ice cream as you think you're getting in the container. People can be puffed up too. They may not be exactly filled with air, but you know that expression, some people are filled with hot air. So what is the warning to us here in the Bible when it says, charity is not puffed up? First, let's consider some characteristics of this concept of being puffed up. We have the word here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, puffed up. And the word means to inflate, to cause to swell up. And it is directly related to the idea of making oneself proud, to carry oneself loftily. In other words, to be puffed up is to be guilty of just raw pride. Pride is another one of those consequences of an exaggerated love of yourself. We looked at that last week. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. To be proud is to consider oneself to be above others, despising others, even treating them with contempt, being arrogant when dealing with others. Go over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, and look at the end of the verse. Here we have the term puffed up again. At the end of the verse, Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, vainly puffed up. And then it says, by his fleshly mind. It tells us that becoming puffed up comes directly from the flesh. That aspect of us that is left over from the sin nature, even after we're saved. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, including intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up and by his fleshly mind. And in other words, what this verse is talking about is whatever it is he wants you to follow him in this false religion, he's just made it up. He's convinced himself that this fairy tale he is feeding to you, which is nothing more than an imagination of his own mind, is actually true. You know, it's pretty amazing what people can convince themselves of to believe. But this has been going on for a long time. You remember Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It's amazing. People make things up. They know when they make them up, they're not true at all. And then they convince themselves that this false thing they made up in their own minds is true. And it all comes from the flesh, and it makes them feel so important, it puffs them up. Pride is accompanied by a high look. We're told that twice in the Old Testament, once in Psalm 101 and verse 5, Psalm 101 and verse 5. There's another reference over in the Proverbs that says the same thing. But Psalm 101 and verse 5 says, who privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off, him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. A high look goes along with the proud heart that is being puffed up. Another way to express this high look is when you elevate your chin and you look down your nose at people. You know that expression? Some people have called this the royal nose. I guess royalty sometimes acts this way. Or some people who think themselves to be royalty. There was a woman named Leona Helmsley. I guess it's all right to talk about her. She's since gone to wherever she's gone. But she said something remarkable when she was on the earth. She was a wealthy businessman. She and her husband were billionaires, but she didn't like to pay taxes. And she didn't pay taxes. And when she was asked about this, she said, we don't pay taxes. Only the little people pay taxes. The little people. Are you a little people? What an attitude. Well, it cost her 4 years of her life. She went to prison for not just for saying that, but for not paying her taxes. But that was her attitude. She had that high look. There are people like that in this world. They have that high look. Because their hearts are proud. They're puffed up. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8 tells us that proud people lack patience. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. In other words, the proud in spirit are not patient in spirit. Those are two opposite things. Patient in spirit versus proud in spirit. To have a proud spirit is to be impatient with people who are not willing to do your bidding, or they don't do it fast enough, who inconvenience you, and you quickly become angry with them because you're puffed up with your hot air and they're not doing what you want right away. Psalm 119, verse 78 says, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause." And that's often the case with people who are puffed up. You don't have to be guilty of anything. If you simply inconvenience them in their minds, they will become very impatient with you. So, being puffed up doesn't sound like a very good thing. And in fact, there are several consequences that the scripture tells us about as a result of being puffed up. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 19? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 19. And here we will learn that a person who is puffed up lacks real power. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says to the Corinthians, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power." The speech. Puffed up people have a lot of things to say, but apparently they're not very good at having a big impact by the things they say. Not much power there. It's like the difference between a wooden baseball bat and one of those foam noodles that you use in a swimming pool. Which one of those two items would hit the ball furthest? Do you think the noodle will work? That's full of air, isn't it? Psalm 62, beginning in verse 9, says, "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God." And if you really want to be a powerful person, that is, have real inner strength, to have the stamina to deal with the hard things in life, that's what I'm talking about. The power to deal with the hard things in life, you need the power of God. Not a false sense of importance by puffing yourself up with a lot of hot air. The power of God is instilled within those who truly submit themselves to Him. "I can do all things." That's what the world says. "I can do whatever I want to do. I can be whatever I want to be." But the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That's where the real power comes from. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 tells us that puffed up knowledge lacks the ability to edify. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." The idea is that the more knowledge you have without having charity or love, the more highly you will think of yourself. And the more highly you think of yourself, the less you'll think of others, and the less you'll be able to love. Thus, the less you think of others who are not as informed as you are not so important. But remember, not all knowledge is profitable. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, "Ever learning," and you know the rest of it, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? What is all that knowledge doing for them if they can't come to the knowledge of the truth? Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. And you know, in the context here, I'm wondering if that gain that they are thinking about is this gain of knowledge. They don't really know anything, but they know everything. You know, they've learned all of this, and so they are able to dispute you. I came across this article. I couldn't read it. I started to, and I just couldn't continue. The article was entitled 700 Contradictions in the Bible. And I'm sorry, I started to read it. And one of the first ones was, well, God made light on day one, but he didn't make the objects of light until day four, and that was a contradiction of the Bible, as if you can't have light if you don't have the sun and the moon, you know. Not much faith in that. I mean, that's not a contradiction in the Bible. I thought, if this is the kind of thing he's going to do, I can't read this article. But there are a lot of people that arrogantly say, I know more than God does. And therefore, I know more than you, Christians, because you're just a bunch of ignorant people, that all you do is fall in line with what the Bible says. Yet they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and that doesn't help anybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Corinthians apparently had a lot of trouble with this puffed up business. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Being puffed up can create hostilities. It says here, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn not in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. You know how this whole thing started, don't you? Back in the beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where there were people who were for Paul, and there were people who were for Apollos, and there were people who were for Cephas, and then there were the real spiritual ones who were for Christ. But you know how that reads there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. And I think they were all more united than they thought, because they were all of I. They were puffed up. But it did create hostilities, and they were arguing, who was the best? Who's the best? Who's the best preacher? I hope you never have that kind of argument. Who's the best preacher? I hope no preacher wants to be a subject of such an argument. But it says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. And Proverbs 28:25 continues, he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. If you will trust in the Lord instead of being puffed up, God will bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 2. We're still in 1 Corinthians. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Being puffed up causes you to ignore sin. A couple came to church. They were living in sin. But rather than losing this couple and see their attendance go down, they ignored the sin so the people would stay. I need to move along here because I want to get to the solution, but there's one more over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. Not a novice, talking about the qualifications for those who would be bishops, elders in the church. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. You know what Proverbs 16:18 says. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. But to come into the influence of Satan is a really significant thing. You see, when Satan sees, even in the life of a believer, someone who is puffed up and has become proud, he sees in that person a kindred spirit, because that was Satan's original problem. I was going to take you to Ezekiel, but I want to get to something else first. But over there in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 17, and describing Satan's problem, it says, just five words at the beginning of verse 17 in Ezekiel 28, thine heart was lifted up. That was his problem. His heart was lifted up. And when Satan sees a human being, even a believer, whose heart has lifted up with pride, he sees in that individual a kindred spirit. And he will foster that and encourage it. Because that's what he's like. But I really want to talk to you about the solution to this matter of being puffed up. And would you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, please? 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort. He has some advice for the elders of a local church. It's just something about holding an office in a local church that gives certain people a sense of importance. It happens. Whoa, look at me, I'm really important. I'm an elder. And so he cautions us against that here in the passage. He says, you have a high responsibility to care for God's people, verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, with these cautions, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And especially, he says in verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples or examples to the flock. Don't see yourselves as lords. When you do, that's when you get puffed up. But see yourselves as examples. As soon as an elder sees himself as a lord and is puffed up, he immediately becomes less effective in his leadership. He loses his ability to edify the flock. He potentially becomes a source of strife. He will encourage compromises, and he comes in danger of being influenced by the devil. All because he gave in to the flesh. But if the elders will see themselves simply as examples of those who are truly and sincerely following Christ, there will be a reward. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Examples. We're just examples. Nothing special. We're all just regular people. Did you know that? Every one of us is just a regular person. And he says in verse 5 to the young people, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And then he says, yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humility is the exact opposite of being puffed up. Humility, it's not that you make yourself small, but regardless of your station, whether king or servant or president or dishwasher, you think of yourself as being small, so that you do not think of yourself as being better than others. So he says, submit yourselves. One, be subject, all of you, be subject one to another. And so one of you says to another, how can I help you? And the other says right back, no, how can I help you? And there's a contest on how we can help each other more than there is a contest on how we can lord it over each other. And what a better place it would be. So he says in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Always think of yourself as being small in comparison to God, because you are. And when you do, he will exalt you in due time. And what is that exaltation we are anticipating? Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. What an exaltation that will be. And then finally, he says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That is an ultimate act of submission to God when you acknowledge you need him. I want you to go back once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We were there earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we had looked at the end of verse 6. We're at the end of verse 6, it says that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. And then right away it asks this question in verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? That's a really interesting question. Well, how about this question? Who made you? And did God make any of us any differently than he made others? Now, don't look on people's appearance to answer this question. That's the great mistake the world is making these days, looking on people's appearance and judging them. Some of us have different color skin. Some of us have different color hair. Some of us have different color eyes. Some of us are tall. Some of us are short. Some of us have long legs and some of us have short legs. Like mine, I could never run long distance. My short legs would never get me around. Some of us can sing and some of us can't. Some of us can fix cars, and I can't. Sure, there are surface differences between us, but let me ask you this. Which one of us does not have a soul? Which one of us does not have a heart? Which one of us does not have a mind? Is there any one of us that was not born of a woman? Which one of you did not begin your life as a baby and grow up through childhood? Was there any one of you that did not need someone to teach you how to eat or teach you how to tie your shoes or teach you how to read and write or struggle through adolescence and adjust to the changes in your body as it grows and learn how to make choices? Which one of you was born at the age of 31 and automatically knew everything? You see, we're no different. We might look a little different, but that's not what makes a person a person. You're not who you are because of what you look like. You're who you are because of what's in your heart, because of what's in your mind, because of what's in your soul. Don't ever look down to see one of your fellow Christians. Look him in the eye and see someone who is just like you. I've told you this before. I don't stay up here during the whole service and sit on that bench back here because I have no need in my life for you to look at me for 30 minutes before I preach. I'm just a person. I'm just like everybody else. If I don't have something to do up here, I'm going to go down there and sit. When it's somebody else's turn, they can come up here. And when they're done, they can go down. And somebody else's turn, they can come up here. And when it's my turn, I'll come up here. But that's okay. We're all just regular people. And remember, we have to look up to see God. And when you do look up and see God, remember how down to earth you ought to be under His watchful care. Let's not be puffed up. Let's be humble. So that we can really love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for making us all with a soul, a heart, and a mind. For having us all be born as babies and have the growing process to go through. To learn things along the way. For making us all just people. Lord, help us to avoid the desire to be more important than somebody else. Help us to be humble, to see ourselves together in the body of Christ, all as one, and love one another with a humble heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.